You have need of a Bible, simply raise your hand. One will be handed to you. Jonah chapter 1. I just want to thank Pastor Trent for filling in for worship this morning. That really felt administered to my heart. Very thankful for that. Thank you, Pastor Trent. I'm also reminded, as Pastor RJ was praying, there's so many in our church right now that are sick or hurting or going through something. So if you don't mind, I'd like to take a moment just to lift up the people that are dealing with issues physically right now in our church. So pray with me. Father, I thank you this morning that by your Spirit, you move in our hearts. And Lord, there are many that we know that we can call out by name who are struggling right now physically, and I just want to pray for them. I pray that you would bring healing to them, whether it's a cold or a back or just feeling wore out or dealing with a stomach bug, or even some people that we are praying for that in a hospital. We want to lift up Connie by name, God, that you would raise her up, that you would heal her completely. Lord, and we don't ask these things and be hopeful that you'll do things. We believe, God, that you can change these people's lives, that you can transform us, that you can touch our physical bodies and raise us up. We serve a God, and we belong to a God who raises the dead. And so I just pray that you would increase our faith to pray faithfully for one another and to pray healing upon each other's lives. And then even in the emotions, Lord, the things that are going on in our hearts and in our minds, the stresses that we carry with us on a day-to-day basis, God, I pray right now that you would lift those burdens from people, that you would just give us a clarity of mind, that we would just embrace the truth that a relationship with God in a storm is so much better than going through life without God. And so we just pray, you pour out your Spirit upon us, that you would touch us, Lord, heal us, and that we would be living testimonies for the glory of our God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen. Amen. This morning, I want to talk to you. I'm really loving the book of Jonah, and I hope you are as well. It's one of those small books that just has such a powerful message in it. And this morning's message, he works through flawed people. And I didn't pick that title to insult you. Because we're all flawed. We aren't perfect. And no matter how hard we try, the things that we do don't turn out perfect. But as I continue to study through Jonah, I learn that even through our imperfections, even through our flaws, God uses us. Do you believe that? Do you believe God will use you even in the midst of a difficult place? Here Jonah is running from God. Here Jonah is in direct disobedience to God, and I see God using Jonah. And maybe that's the case in your life. Maybe you're in a place right now that I wouldn't say you're being disobedient to God, but you're not where God really wants you. I want you to be open this morning to believe that God will get you to where he wants you, and that you need to let him do that, because that's what God does. The scriptures are filled with people that God used that were imperfect. I mean, you just go down the list of the Bible characters that you know by name, and you could put in parentheses next to their name the mistake that they made, right? We all know. Moses had a speech problem. I used to have that years ago. I used to make up words. I was just sharing this with someone the other day. My wife was literally keeping the notes of every wrong word I ever made up. I don't know if I'm afraid that thing's ever going to show up one day. But Moses had a speech problem. Gideon was afraid, one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Rahab was a prostitute. God used her. David was a murderer. Naomi was a widow. Peter denied Christ 3 times. Martha worried about everything. Any Marthas in here? The disciples fell asleep while praying. And Paul, the apostle, persecuted the Christians. So you look at that list and you go, God certainly wasn't looking for perfect people. God certainly wasn't looking for people that had their stuff together. No, God is looking for people that are willing to be used by God. And I don't want you to be here this morning, and I don't want you to feel like you're disqualifying yourself because of your imperfections, because God takes your imperfections and turns them around and creates his will through your life. You just need to be a willing vessel. And so I want you to believe that this morning. See, God didn't call the popular, he didn't call the rich, he didn't call the successful to further his ministry. He called the poor, the broken, and the weak. And I got to tell you, I stand here before you thankful for that very thing. Because if I had to be qualified for the things that God called me to, that'd be scary. You just have to be willing. You just have to be willing to be used by God. Imagine how confused the Pharisees must have been seeing Jesus, the supposed Messiah, and the group of people he hung around. The people that he called his 12 disciples, apostles. They must have looked and go, what is this? See, I don't understand why God uses us other than the fact that it's just to show his power, to show that he can use anybody. And I'm thankful for that. Jesus uses all people to further his will. If you've ever felt like you weren't worthy enough, then you qualify for being used by God. Listen, I always love this statement. He doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. If God has got a call upon your life, he will make sure he will fulfill that call. That's the life of Jonah. In a nutshell, Jonah can run all he wants. God's going to get him where he wants him. And you can run all you want, and God's going to get you where he wants you to. The question becomes, how long do you want it to take? Some of you in this room have been called, have an anointing upon your life to do a specific task, and maybe you've avoided it, maybe you've run from it, maybe you just skirted around the issue, but I'm telling you, that's what God has called you to do, then you need to do it. And so think about that throughout this message. Pray about that. God, what is it you want me to do? No matter what you've ever done in your life, remember that the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives within you if you believe in Jesus. If you've accepted Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit dwells in your life. And with that power, we can change the world. 12 men transformed the face of the planet because of the message they had from Jesus. And that's what God can do with us. And that's what I see God doing with Jonah. Again, I don't go fast, but man, it's this second half, I guess, of Jonah chapter 1 is so powerful. Read with me, starting in verse 10. We read, "Then the men," those are the sailors on the boat, "were exceedingly afraid and said to him, 'Why have you done this?' For the men knew that Jonah," he fled from the presence of the Lord because Jonah had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. There's so much in this story, and I'm going to do my best to look at it and expound upon what I see here. Now, number one, when we talk, we're talking about God working through flawed people. If you're taking notes, write this down. Flawed people can help fearful people. I don't know if you see it there. You know, these men are seasoned sailors. And we had seen in verse 5 that they were afraid of the storm. But now here in verse 10, then the men were exceedingly afraid, not because of the storm, because if you look at back in verse 9, Jonah says, "I'm the reason. The Lord is doing this. I know this storm is because of me." And so Jonah, in his disobedience, is going to bring a message to these sailors that God's in control. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that God is in control of your life, of your circumstances, of your situation? As good as it is or as bad as it is, God's in control of it. God may not be making it happen, but God is allowing it to happen in your life for a reason. I like to remind myself, God brought this storm so that he could get to Jonah. And maybe God's putting a storm in your life to get your attention, to wake you up. It's interesting to me that Jonah knew what these men needed to do, but he didn't do what he knew he needed to do. It's like, what should we do with you, Jonah? It's like, throw me overboard. Kick me off the ship, and things will change. He knew that. So that shows us that he knew exactly what God wanted him to do and that he was in disobedience to him. But Jonah didn't pay attention to it. Sometimes we are so concerned with relating and being relevant to people that we forget it is not a bad thing for people to have a healthy fear of God. Did you see that in verse 10? Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. They're fearful because God was in control of this. I think it's good to have a healthy fear of God as believers. That God is that powerful, that God is that certainly that loving and that gracious and that forgiving, but he's also that powerful to change and transform the things that are going on in your life. See, I believe the church today has traded reverence for relevance. We need to be relevant. We need to speak to the people so it doesn't hurt the people. Churches today bring messages that just tickle the ears, make you feel good. Listen, I'm here to encourage you, but I'm also here to convict you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I wrote this down. If you tell me you were uncomfortable by what was said during the service, you've probably heard me say it before. That's a good thing, because that's the work of the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you the number of people that come up to me and say, "Do you have a camera in my house? Have you bugged my phone?" It's not me. And I know some of the people looking at me who have said that to me, you're not the only ones. Because God has the ability to touch every single heart in here. I think that's an amazing thing. God has a microphone in your, God has a camera in your house. God's bugged your phone. He knows what's going on. And he knows that he's going to make sure that the Holy Spirit delivers a message. And I believe the words that are coming out of my mouth get transformed until to what you need to hear in your ears. I think God has that a power. And that's my prayer always for God. God, stand in front of me and let them hear from you. So if you're here this morning and you're feeling conviction, if you come to church and you feel, that's a good thing, because that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. It's not because I want to get into your business. It's not because I want to mess up your life. It's because God wants to get your attention. God wants you to be listening. My job is to comfort the afflicted. And listen, afflict the comfortable. Afflict the comfortable. Because we can get so into our rut of, oh, life is good, and I'm just worried about myself and take care of myself. But no. God wants to use your life to touch the life of another. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your neighbors. Maybe it's a stranger. But God wants you to be equipped to make an impact in someone's life. And I love the fact that God can take this bad situation and turn it around for good and transform these people's life, these sailors' life. Again, Jonah knew exactly what they needed to do. Verses 12 and 13, pick me up and throw me in the sea. What's interesting to me is that Jonah was willing to tell them what really needed to be done. He didn't avoid it at this point. He said, just throw me overboard. This storm is because of me. And that's a place we don't want to be, is it? We never want to be in a storm that we've caused ourselves. God, if you want to bring a storm in my life and to guide me, to get me back on path, that's great. But a storm in our life that pushes us because we're going in the wrong direction, that's a storm we've brought in ourselves. We talked about it last week. They tried to find a solution. Did you see that in verse 13? They asked him in verse 12, what should we do? And then 13, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land. Do you ever try to fix things in your own strength? Or is it just me? Do you ever try to say, God, I got this one. I'll take care of this. God, I've got a problem, but I'm not going to let anybody else know. I'm going to take care of this. The thing that's interesting to me with Jonah, he's, again, I want to remind you that he's a prophet of God. But nowhere in this first chapter do we hear Jonah praying. Nowhere in this first chapter do we hear that he's sleeping. We hear that he's given a testimony of who he is. And then he gives a reason for why the storm is here. It's because of me. Never pray, never pray. And I think this is something that's so natural for all of us. We don't think we should pray at every moment. Every time something happens in your life, stop and pray. When something happens in your life, ask other people to pray. I am so thankful for the people in this church who know that they can get on a group text and say, can you all be praying for this? This week, at least three people have gotten group texts from a bunch of us at church saying, please pray for us. Pray for this situation. And what's amazing to me is the situations change. And we're not amazed. We're thankful that God answers according to our prayer. But that's the power of prayer, to be asking for people. When's the last time you asked someone to pray for you? God bless you. When's the last time you said, I need prayer? And I'll be honest with you. I failed miserably in this area. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for your situation. But I find myself, when someone asks me, what can I pray for you, Pastor Rob? I go blank. I don't think about myself. And that's not good. God definitely gets my attention on that. To be asking for prayer, because that's something we don't naturally do, and I think we should. I think we should. But they tried to find a solution in their own strength, and we tend to do that. You know, and when it comes to salvation, it's something God has done, right? I mean, this certainly speaks to that. Sometimes we think, man, if I go to church, if I read my Bible, if I give to God, then my salvation is secure. That has nothing to do with your salvation. Jesus died on a cross for you. Your salvation is secured there. Coming to church is not here necessarily to keep you saved. Coming to church is to make you strong so that you can go out there and be a soldier for Christ and make an impact and help someone else who has a need. Who in your life is fearful today? Who in your life is walking through a storm and a difficulty that you could speak life into? Because there's a hurting world out there. And I know we all want to put on a good face on Sundays and say everything's good. I was just having a conversation with someone this week. And it just amazes to me when you ask them, how are you doing today? I'm good. How are you? Good. And then you just keep on going. I've said it a million times. We don't care. The next time someone asks you, how are you doing? Say, I'm not doing so good. See what happens. If they catch it, they'll be shocked that you actually were honest. And that's really how we find out when people are going through a tough time. What are you trying to accomplish in your own strength today? What are you trying to fix? Maybe it's time for you this morning to say, God, I'm going to give this over to you. Do you know that verse, cast your cares upon me because I care for you? Or cast your cares upon him because he cares for you? Do you do that? Do you cast your cares upon God? I think we should be doing that. Jesus, the Son of God, was the sacrifice for all, and only through him is there salvation. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? I can't remember what it was, that first song. Do we really believe the lyrics that were sang this morning? Do we really believe that our life is completely given over to him? That we're trusting in him? Or are we just going through the motions? Salvation is through Christ and him alone. Jonah knew what these men needed to do, but he refused to do what he needed to do. Isn't that something? See, I love telling you how to live your life. I just have a hard time telling myself how to live my life. I got all your answers, but I'm struggling finding answers for myself. That is crazy to me, isn't it? Jonah knew. So not only can flawed people help fearful people? But look at the next thing in verse 14. Flawed people can lead lost people to God. Look at it again in verse 14. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray." The first people to pray in this are the unbelieving sailors. I think that's pretty powerful. And man, when the world does what we're supposed to do, that should convict us to the core. They were caused to be led to God. Therefore, we cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let this let us perish for this man's life." They were praying to God because they're getting ready to throw Jonah over, and I don't think they believed it. I don't think they believed that if Jonah went overboard, they threw everything else over, the cargo and everything, but if they thought if they threw Jonah over, it wouldn't have changed anything. Unbelief is the cancer inside a church and inside of a believer. When you don't believe that what you know to be true, when you don't believe it, it hinders you. And they didn't want to do it. They tried to do it in their own strength, but then they prayed. And they ask God to not charge it. Jonah's instructions causes them to call on God. And that's something that we need to be doing on a regular basis, is calling on God. Every day, talk to the Lord through prayer, just having a conversation with him. That's what opens up the gates of communication between you and God. Jonah was a picture of Jesus, and I shared this last week, but I want to remind us. In Matthew 12, Jesus himself says this, "But he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.'" What fascinates me about this is God looks down at the life of Jonah, and he says, "I'm going to make this a picture of what my son is going to do years from now." Guys, the fact that Jonah was disobedient opened up God's opportunity to paint a picture of what he was going to do in the future. God took a bad situation in Jonah's life and turned it around so that we would believe in Jesus. Does that remind you of a verse that says he works out all things for good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes? He works all things. Every bad situation, every flawed thing that you do in your life, God can turn it around and turn it into something good. And I love the fact that Jesus, you heard the story about Jonah. Wait till you see what I'm going to do. Because the fact is, Jonah got into the water, Jonah got into the fish, and 3 days later, the fish spits him out, right? Jonah lived. He died in that water, but then he lived on the other side. That shows us a picture of resurrection. I mean, God is amazing, the things that he can do. So I want you to look at the situation that you're going through right now in your life, whether it's financial, whether it's spiritual, whether it's physical. God's going to use it for someday to point other people to see the truth of who God is. Trust that, because God works all things out for good. And that's a beautiful thing for us. God used Jonah's disobedience to be a picture of what his son would do. What is he doing in your life? What is he allowing in your life that's going to help someone one day? I'm thankful for the things that have happened in my life, not because I went through them, because I'm able to minister to people through them. Almost every bad thing that happened in my life, I've been able to use it for good, for the glory of God. And it makes it worth it. It makes it worth it. I would imagine if Jonah was standing here, he'd go, "I would do it again." Maybe he would pray sooner, I don't know. Notice it says in verse 16 that these men feared the Lord. First, these men feared the storm. And that's how it is with us. We fear the storms. But then it gets to a point where they actually feared the Lord. I believe that this is a lesson for all of us. Don't be afraid of what it is that's going on in your life right now. Bring it to God. Put it in the hands of the Almighty and see what he won't transform in your life. I know there's people in this room that have heard from God something so amazing and so unbelievable, they're having a hard time believing it. I know it. And it's a constant reminder in our lives to trust in God, to have fear in God overrides everything, doesn't he? Right? What does God have to do in your life for him to show you how faithful he is? He's been faithful in your life and your past. I guarantee it. If you look back, you'll see him time and time again. And he'll be faithful again. Trust in that. We should learn this lesson that when we may initially fear what we're coming up against, that we must bring it to God and put it at his feet. I mean, I think that was Pastor Trent's prayer this morning. Lord, we just put these things at your feet, whatever they are, whatever burdens there are. Guys, God wants to use us. God wants to use our flawed lives to touch the life of another. Will we let him do it? The fact that these men prayed to God shows me that God used flawed people. I mean, Jonah was flawed. Now the question becomes, who do you identify with more closely? With Jonah running from God, or with these sailors that are crying out to God? What's your relationship like with the Lord? Are you constantly bringing things to him? Are you constantly talking with him and praying to him? Is that something that's natural to you? Or are you one that just keeps putting them on the back burner until the big storm comes? I've told you time, it's when you pray consistently that when the big things happen, you'll take them immediately to God. You know, it's like catastrophe insurance. Do you have insurance for the big thing, but you don't have insurance for the little things? You have to have insurance for the little things. Pray to God consistently. I found this. God can use you even when you are not exactly where you need to be. God wanted Jonah where? In Nineveh. Jonah wasn't in Nineveh. Jonah was on a ship going the other direction, and God used him in that place. God can use you even when you're not exactly where he wants you to be. Let God use you. Make yourself available to him. Now in verse 17, verse 17 reminds us who's in control. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish. I mean, if God is in control of everything, isn't in control of anything, I don't know what is. God prepares this fish. Now, people will talk, was it a whale? Was it this? It doesn't really matter. Whatever it was, God prepared it. And actually, whatever it is you're going through in your life, God's preparing something. This word prepared means ordained or called. God ordained this great fish, this whale, big, whatever it is, to come and to swallow up Jonah. God prepared it. And the fact is, God always has something prepared for us to get us through, to carry us through, whatever it is. Unfortunately for Jonah, he had to spend 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a fish. Would have been a lot easier, Jonah, if you paid attention to what God wanted. But this shows the grace of God, right? Now, if you look at verse 1 in chapter 2, what does your Bible say? Then Jonah prayed. Now, here's the thing. It would seem like Jonah should have been praying right from the beginning, wouldn't you agree? And shouldn't we always be praying right from the beginning? I mean, you find yourself in the belly of a fish, you probably should start praying. Right? But let me say this to you. Sometimes we look at this and I think Jonah gets a bad rap. Well, it took this long for Jonah to finally pray. I can assure you, as soon as Jonah was thrown over the boat, over the edge of the boat, he began to pray. As he was going down into the water, he's praying one of those Nehemiah prayers. God be with me. right? And it's this opportunity for us to pray and to ask God to help us. We're going to look at the prayer next week. But Jonah should have been praying all along. He should have been praying from the very beginning. He's a prophet of God. We are the children of God. We should be people of prayer. And we should be praying prayers that are believing God to do the miraculous. When you are in trouble, when you have a need in your life, when something in your life needs to change, how long does it take you to begin praying? I can tell you, the parents in this room, when their kids have to go to the emergency, they begin to pray immediately, right? When you find something, when you get bad news, maybe from the doctor, you don't wait around. You begin to pray, Lord, please help me through this. So do you think Jonah waited 3 days after he got spit out of the fish to pray? No. I think what this book is telling us is that this is what Jonah did. He ran from God. He got on a ship. There was a storm. They threw him overboard, and he prayed. The very next thing he did was pray. And then he spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish because that's how long it took God to get him to Nineveh. Prayer needs to be a priority. God works through flawed people who pray. Guys, it's a reliance. And I'm not telling, listen, I don't want you to think what I'm saying is the more you pray, the more you're going to convince God of what you want. I'm not saying that. I'm saying when you pray, you're asking God to take all that you have and make it into something that he wants. Whatever it is. We'll never pray enough. We'll never pray in such a way that it gives us exactly what we want, but it's going to put it before God so that he can prepare our hearts. I believe the 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish was God just finally getting to Jonah to say, dude, when I spit you out, you're going to do what I told you. I mean, this was Jonah, I'm taking it out behind the shed, and I'm going to get you straightened up. As a child of God, we pray immediately. Jonah was a child of God that was going a little bit astray. We all know the prodigal son story, right? Running from their father. Prodigals always come back to God. Always. And maybe you have a child. Maybe there's someone in your life who for a season walked with God and now they're in complete and total rebellion. They're a prodigal child that will come back. You have to believe that because prodigals come back to God. Jonah lost his senses in chapter 1, but he's going to get his senses back in chapter 2. And he's going to ask God to work in his life. What has God prepared in your life to get you to do his will? Because he's ordained something. He's called you to something, and he's going to do a work in your life. The question is, what is it he's prepared you for? A pastor this morning sent this to me. I don't know if you can see this, but from Corrie Ten Boom. And it was so applicable to the message. It says, there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. I want you to remember the fish that came, the storm that came, everything that God did in Jonah's life was because God loved him. Whatever's happening in your life, if you brought the storm on yourself, God's going to lovingly, caringly get you back on path. Your job is to just be like a child and lift your hands to God and say, Lord, take me back. As a prodigal, God always takes his kids back. And I don't care where you've wandered to. I don't care what you've put your hand to. I don't care what it is you've messed up and how flawed you've become. When you finally turn around and when you finally surrender, God's love is there to comfortingly bring you back. You won't have to. God isn't like, well, you got to pay me back for that. God isn't like that. He uses flawed people because that's the only way it's going to work in order to help other flawed people. I mean, if the Bible was filled with perfect people being used by God, Would we have any chance? I know I wouldn't. But because he uses flawed people, I identify with Jonah, I identify with Gideon, I identify with Moses, I identify with all of them. But I also identify with the most important person in the Bible, and I ask you, do you too? Do you identify with Christ? Do you identify with Jesus, the Son of God, the perfect life? Because when we identify with him, when we put our trust in him, guess what? We go from being flawed to being perfect in God's sight. That is what the gospel is about. That is what the picture of it is. So if you're here this morning and you're feeling like you've been messing up lately, and you feel like maybe like Jonah in chapter 1, you haven't been hearing from God, I want to give you an opportunity this morning to stand up and say, Lord, I've been running. I've been going in the wrong direction. I haven't been feeling like where I needed to be. Use whatever means you want, Lord, to bring me back where you want me. If you feel that way this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand up because I want to pray for all of us. Anyone in this room that feels flawed or feels like they're in a place where they need to get back to God, I'm going to ask right now, stand up so that I can pray for you. Is there anyone here this morning that wants that? Look at all these flawed people in here. I'm standing with you. We want so much from God in our lives. And those that are standing want more. And I don't know the storm you're in. I don't know what it is that is going on in your life that's caused you to stand, but God does. And he's going to minister to you right now. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for those who have stood. I thank you for their transparency, God, to say that they want more, that maybe they have gone in a different direction than you want them to. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that they're turning around. I pray, God, that they're making a commitment to focus on you and not their surroundings, to focus on their Savior and not the storm that they may be in. God, if it's physical, I pray that you would touch their bodies. I pray that you would touch their minds. Maybe it's a lack of faith. God, I pray that you would increase their faith. God, whatever it is, if they've been disobedient, if they've put their hands to things that they wish they wouldn't have never done, God, I pray right now that you'd give them that unconditional forgiveness and that you would pour out your love upon them. God, that you would encourage them that from this day forward, they're going to be drawn back to you. God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you'd bring conviction and comfort, that you would draw them into a place, Lord, where they know that you love them and that you have great plans for them. And that like Jonah, that they're going to pray to you and ask you, God, to be in the midst of their lives, to be orchestrating the circumstances. And I pray that whatever path they're on right now, that if it's not the path you want them on, Lord, that you would move them now in the name of Jesus, in the power of Christ. And I pray that you would anoint them with the Holy Spirit, that they would find new confidence and new assurance that the path that they're on now leads straight to you. To you be the glory and to you be the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you all. The last thing I want to say is that we're all in this together. We never, in the church, we should never be looking at each other and thinking this one does more for God than this one. We're all on the equal playing field. We're all in a place where we need to just make ourselves open to what God wants to do. And I want to say this. If you're here this morning, and there's a place that you believe God's called you to, yeah, come on up, Trent. If you believe there's a place that God's called you to, either serving in the church or out of the church, it's our pleasure to come alongside you and help you fulfill that purpose and that call. And so if there's something that God's put on your heart this morning, there's going to be prayer counselors up here after the service, after we close in the song. If you want to come up and be prayed over again or more, please do that, because we're here to help you. And there's staff here in this church that wants to help you fulfill the purpose that you have in your life. So God, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that we are maybe flawless or flawed, but Lord, in your sight, we are flawless. So we pray that in every way you'd be glorified through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please stand.
Thank you.